No, it's proper green.
Okay. Okay. No, it's a good green. Okay, so so when you look at this distribution, oops, wrong slide. So it's actually it's a number of components, and we when you deploy the stack, it's for production deployments. It's Kubernetes only. We do have VM distributions, but they're for development only. There's no way to upgrade the VM. So if you're testing it, VMs are fine. We're publishing packages for Red Hat, Ubuntu, and SUSE. But when you put it into production, this is really an enterprise deployment. Just a couple of notes of like who wants to use this type of thing. This is for large-scale deployments, companies that have economies of scale to operate, people who have custom requirements, companies that need to self-host who don't want to use a cloud provider, or people who want to build a product. So, okay, well, that's enough about the background. What I want to show today is actually a live demo of Agama, and this is sort of brave. It's already not, you know, we're already facing technical difficulties. We'll see how it goes here. But I want to show you, I actually want to build an Agama project and maybe customize it a little. So let's go here. So I'm going to go to our, so this is Agama Lab. As I mentioned, Agama Lab is the developer site. And so Agama is a, so the idea with an Agama project is that it's everything you need in order to build a project. That includes the code, any libraries, any web assets, you know, CSS, HTML, images. So all of that stuff together is what we call an Agama archive. You take Agama archive, if you're Java people, you might know what a WAR file is. A WAR file is your whole application, and you can deploy it on any application server that supports WAR files. So Agama files are sort of like WAR files for IDPs. If you have this, any IDP that supports deployment of Agama should be able to run. The Agama catalog is a catalog of projects that you can start with, because we don't want you to have to write everything from scratch. The idea is that we can create sort of a catalog of ready-to-go projects. You can fork these and then modify them a little bit and publish them on your server. The project I want to work with today is called Agama SMTP. So I'm going to actually just go here and fork this project in my personal repo. And so Agama Lab doesn't actually store any code. We're just using GitHub for everything here. So we're storing, so you fork it, and so now it's forked. So now I'll go back to Agama Lab. So I'll change the repository. And I'll say, okay, where'd it go? Agama, so this is the one I just forked. So let's work with this one. And it says, okay, you don't have enough permissions. So we're using what's called a GitHub app. I never heard of this thing, but basically you can install a GitHub app in your project. And so this enables us to have very granular permissions. So I'm going to hit configure, and I'm going to basically have to add, say, okay, where's Agama? This app, save. Yeah, and so now I can go back to Agama Lab. And I should be able to switch to it now. Without that, I wouldn't be able to read from the repository. Okay, so now here's my project. Let's look at it this is what we call the orchestrator. It's the place that you actually write the Agama code. So this is what Agama, the low code looks like. If you actually want to see the Agama code itself, you can hit generate code here, and this will show you the Agama source. but we don't actually want to see this. So the idea here is that let's maybe make a new flow file. So I'm going to teach you, let's just say, org.fosdem.test. Let's say demo. Every Agama flow has a unique name. We call that the qualified name, or QN. So when I'm evoking an Agama flow using OpenID Connect, we would always use the ACR Agama to tell the IDP we're running an Agama flow. But then we have an extra parameter called Agama underscore flow, and that would be the qualified name of the server. So here's the QN up here. Now, in Agama, these are all the Agama commands. Agama is a very concise language. So let's say the first step of my flow is I want to display a form. I would use RRF. And here I would give the name of the template. And actually, in Agama Lab, we also have form authoring. So, for example, here's the form. And this is using Apache FreeMarker. And this is kind of brave, but let's try it. What if maybe I can drop in a new logo here? So let's try. That one looks beautiful, way better. Okay, so I just customized my form. Okay, and I'll save it. So you get the idea. You can customize your forms. Now, we also have a lib folder here. So the code folder is where all your Agama orchestrator flows go. The lib folder is where all of your code goes. So Agama is low code, not no code. That means that you're still going to call classes. Java classes or Groovy classes are both acceptable, or you can drop in a jar file. And so what is a Agama file basically is we make a zip file out of the code, the lib, and the web folder, and we have a project that JSON that basically provides the metadata. Let's go back to the orchestrator. I want to keep going with Agama. And show you some of the other commands. So in addition to being able to render a form, we can assign a variable. You're all geeks, you know what that means. We can call. So in the call box, we provide the class name, the method name, we send in arguments, we assign whatever comes back from the method into the result. So that's a very important box. We also have a trigger. So trigger means I want to call another Agama flow. Sometimes you might break your Agama flows into different parts. Maybe you have one part that sends the email. We have one part that maybe does registration. So instead of building gigantic flows, we can break our orchestration into different flows and route between them. We have RFAC. This is a very powerful command that allows you to redirect. It stands for redirect and fetch at callback. So that means that we can send to an external OpenID provider. A lot of things have an OpenID interface these days. It's like, a lot of things have a web interface. Well, in authentication, things have an OpenID interface. Many authentication services have an OpenID interface. When we call KeyCloak for SAML, we actually call it via OpenID. So the ability to sort of built in, call another IDP and get a response is very powerful. So let's say we want to test this thing. Okay, I've written my code and now I want to test it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to download a .gamma file. I'm going to SFTP that up to my server and deploy it. Dangerous, I know, but let's do it. That's the wrong tab. This one? Yeah. So let's try it. Okay, now it's on my server. That's good. And so there's a couple of ways to configure Jansen. I'm going to show you the geeky way, because you're developers and you can handle it. We have this thing called the TUI. And the TUI, basically, it's an interactive command line thing. It's better than, I hate command lines, so, but you can, we have a command line, we have the TUI. In the commercial product, there's a web interface. But let me say, so what I want to do here is upload my .gamma file. So, or rather, it's already uploaded, but I need to say, okay, this is the .gamma file I want to deploy. I need to filibuster here while it's deploying, so I'm just going to show you. This thing sends email, so it actually uses the .gamma or the Jansen server to send email. You know, this is one of the areas where actually, we want .gamma to support multiple IDPs. We'd really love a Keycloak to have an .gamma deployment, for example. If you have any IDP-specific stuff, what we want you to do is write an interface with all the methods. So in our server, we said we have three methods that your IDP needs to do: send email, onboard user. And so we have an implementation for Jansen that is how we send an email. But if you were writing Keycloak, you would implement these three methods to, in order to, you know, do whatever Keycloak needs to do to send an email. So we want to sort of separate the IDP specific stuff. Okay, I think it should be deployed now. Let's just go back and check. Auth server, .gamma, let's just see. Oops. Yeah, so it looks good. Okay. So let's actually test it out now. And so we have this really cool test RP called TARP. And so TARP, it's a browser plugin, which is really nice. So you put in the host name of your IDP. I think this is, what is my host name actually? Moral Boxer. Moralboxer.glue.info. Okay, so now we're going to do dynamic client registration. So now I have a client ID. So remember, when I send this request, I'm going to send ACR values equals a gamma. And remember, I need to send this extra parameter, a gamma underscore flow. And then I will go back. So I don't know the QN of the flow I want to invoke, so I'm just going to go look at it. I think it's this one. And remember, the QN is here, so I'm just going to copy this. Copy this, go back to TARP, paste it in, and let's trigger the flow. Oh no. I think I know what happened. I think probably my bad demo flow didn't like it. But I don't know if I have time to fix that. But basically, you got the idea, though, is that we what we're going to do is, just to summarize, I think I only have a couple minutes left. So you build your flows here. You download them. You test them. And then when they're good, we have another feature built in called publish. Release project. So this actually does a GitHub release. You know how GitHub has the releases section? So we have an automatic way to do a release. And if you really, if you're really excited about your project and you want to share it with the community, you can publish it. That means you're submitting it to the .gamma Explore catalog. We have a review process to make sure that it has the right documentation and license and everything else. We want third parties to submit projects. So I think that's about it. How much time do I have?
More than 5 minutes.
Okay. I'll take some questions. Sure.
I have a question. So you mentioned about identity providers being able to provide something. My company is an identity provider and authorization as a solution, and I'm not sure what we would be needing explain?
Very good question. Okay, so Agama, like Python, you know, it's a okay. So the question is how can my company, who has their own IDP, use Agama? So Agama is governed at the Linux Foundation, so if actually my one action item, please go to jams.io and star this project. We need to get to 1,000 stars. But Agama is published here at the Linux Foundation, and that includes the Agama interpreter. We have an Agama interpreter which is in Java. So if you have an IDP and you want to support Agama, what you would need to do is support a way to enable your customers to upload and deploy a .gamma archive, and then you would have to be able to interpret that. But that code is actually here for you to use under Apache 2 license. And also, the documentation for the Agama language is also here in the docs. So the language reference, et cetera, is all here. But basically, you'd have to build an Agama deployment engine and Agama interpreter sort of into your IDP.
What does that get us?
That gets you the ability to, your customers would be able to use Agama projects and deploy them. So they could use the developer tool, write their Agama projects, and then deploy them on your IDP.
Well, we already have an API.
Do you have low code?
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe nothing. But a lot of IDPs don't have low code. Also, we'd like to see commonality. Instead of each IDP having their own low code, we'd like to see, why are we going to torture developers and make them learn 5 different low code ways? Let's get one low code platform for building web flows. And that way, we would really like to see this deployable on the cloud too, like Amazon Cognito. It would be great if you could deploy your Agama project to Cognito. So we'd like to see interoperable web journeys, just like WAR files. Yeah, any other questions? We're probably out of time, right? 5 minutes?
Yeah. I have a question.
Sure.
So do you think the current state of the language, the DSL, is finished, or are there things that need to be extended?
It's 2 years old. Okay, so the question is, what's the maturity of Agama? Is it done? It's about 2 years old, so it's still early, and I wouldn't say it's finished, but we are using it, and we have a number of projects published. This year, I'm going to plan to do one project per week. If you follow me on LinkedIn, I have a new episodic called Agama Project of the Week. We're going to feature one project, so by the end of the year, we'll have about 50 projects. So it's still new, but we think it's usable now, but certainly we're going to keep improving it. So to get started, you can go to, I have stickers, but if you go to glue.org/agama-lab, or just go to glue.org, you'll find it. You can sign up for free. Agama Lab is a free developer site. Looking forward to seeing some Agama projects. Thank you.